It's 1 o'clock.
Is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Whatcha?
Well, guess what?
What?
On my drive through this morning. I'm feeling very perky, actually.
Hold on, you were in a drive-thru this morning?
No, on my drive-thru, through Whitstable.
I thought you'd stopped off and got a, like,
Faversham.
Like a KFC or a...
No, I did see the queues where people were sitting in their cars.
Mackie D's.
Yeah, blocking the whole of the roundabout at Swalecliffe to get their little breakfast. And I just feel like saying, darling, can't you just... Well, you saw my little boiled egg I brought in this morning.
Boiled egg and an organic tomato.
Yeah, that's my little snack on the way home.
Is it?
Yeah, because you know when you get, after you've done a couple of shows, you feel a little bit peckish, don't you?
No, I've never experienced that. Me and food, I don't have anything to do with food.
So protein, darling. Anyway, so as I'm coming through, having taken my little Mercedes to the garage.
You've been playing with red blue again, haven't you?
I mean, we've weed in it. We've done everything in it.
Yeah, you put fizzy water in it.
Yeah. So as I'm driving through the country lanes, sort of Ashford and Willsborough area.
Blimey. Yeah. I'm impressed. See, she threw that in because Jules doesn't know anywhere in Kent. She's only lived there about 150 years. Yeah. And she doesn't know anywhere in Kent. And she threw that in Willsborough as if I go, hold on a minute, how did you know about Willsborough?
Do you know why?
No, go on.
Because my iPhone registers it on the photo I took. I mean, I don't know where Willsborough is. It could be up north. But for once, they weren't digging up the road, which was really exciting.
That's unusual, yeah.
And they didn't send me on a detour around the whole of Kent through various Chilham and all places. And the AdBlue sign just pinged on again, and it says, engine start not possible in 490 miles. What kind of modern car stops your engine?
Well, I know.
When you're driving, it's like mad.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah.
I'm going back to my old Honda.
Yeah, it's because it's diesel.
Okay. Why?
Well, you only put.
What do all diesels do that?
No, only diesels that have AdBlue. But AdBlue is an additive of the catalytic converter, not of the. It's not of the fuel.
Most catalytic
you can't
converters.
Say it, can you?
I need more drink to say that.
Yeah.
Most catalytic converters get nicked anyway, don't they?
Well, I was going to say you can't put it on your Honda because your Honda's catalytic converter keeps getting nicked.
I've got a bogus one now because the insurance.
You got a false one.
They were going to write my Honda off.
Yeah.
And so we begged and begged because we love that Honda. It's done 250,000 miles. Right. I've never spent more than about, I don't know, 80 quid on it.
Right.
It's amazing. Mm. So it's now the dog car. Smells of sort of anal glands and sick, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Old dog biscuits.
Yeah,
you know.
Good. Yeah, okay.
So we use it.
I'm just amazed that the dog can drive it. That's the thing that shook me.
So it's also used for the tip, but then you have to book that in advance nowadays, don't you? So we never go. We've just got a pile of stuff for the tip. Got my mum's old deck chairs and that all piled up in the corner of the garden.
I've got a skip at the moment.
Have you? Mm. Well, what are you doing?
Filling it.
Yeah, well, I know, but what with? Bricks?
Junk.
What?
What do you put?
You haven't got any junk. You were a bachelor.
No, I'm not.
Well, you were, I said.
Yeah,
the were word.
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago.
What junk you got? You've been hoarding.
We've got loads of junk.
You're not putting ginger tea in there, are
you? No, licorice tea, yeah.
I'd love a skip. Actually, could I pop my little? I've got quite a bit of pile in my closet.
No, you can't.
Old deck chairs.
If you to bring your rubbish to my skip, you'd have to pass the tip.
Yeah, but you have to book it. You've got to be organised.
Oh, what a shame.
You've got to book it. You can't just roll in anymore.
Can you not?
And there's lots of old blokes sitting there that don't help either. You're a lady and you go there with all your
don't
things.
Don't put that there. Don't go there.
And now they're charging for things.
But they've got these bays and you can only unload certain things in certain bays. But when they're not looking, if you sneak across there and have a look, that behind it, it's just one big thing. It's just the same thing. And then a bloke in a track
car.
No.
Lorry.
No, shut up, interfering. In a digger, comes along and just mashes it all together anyway. It's ridiculous.
Well, did you know? I found out something about recycling that's shocked me because I'm quite an avid recycler. I will say that my neighbour with two children doesn't. She doesn't even have a caddy or anything.
Is that the one you keep reporting for not recycling?
No, I don't report. I do quite like her, but she doesn't bother recycling. It annoys me. She's got children.
She's not the dodgy one then.
No.
No, okay.
No. I hope she's not listening. She's very nice. But I'm moving swiftly on there. But I found I was reading that you're supposed to not only just wash your plastic, did you know this, Paul? You're supposed to take the lids off. You're not supposed to, because I was putting mine on, washing it, and then putting the lid on.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to put the lid separate, it said. Well, who does that? You know.
Not me, that's for sure.
And my bedroom bin, oh my goodness.
I don't want to know about that.
I've got a little paper bag in my bedroom bin, right? I've got a nice purple bin that matches my headboard.
No,
so it's all synchronised. And I've got a little paper bag, which is...
It's purple and
it's
black.
It's recycled Riverford veg bag. How good is that? So I've got a little paper recycled from my carrots or whatever's coming in. So that's for my paper... any paper. And then I've got a little other bit that's for my plastics. And then I've got a little other bag, which is just for landfill. My cleaner can't work it out at all.
Haven't you got one for used cotton wool buds and earbuds?
Because you mustn't flush them.
And makeup remover and all that kind of stuff. You must have a bag for that.
Well, what do you take your mascara off with?
Well, normally I just point the shower at my face.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think your face had seen a shower for a few years.
Oh, yes.
Really? Do you exfoliate?
I beg your pardon?
Only on a Monday?
Yeah, only after curry.
Talking of curry, I had a very nice chai stop on Friday night. It's my new Friday night takeaway is the chai stop curry. You remember?
Yeah, yeah.
You had one at my house once, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
A long time ago. Mm. Talking about not other things, who is our sponsor this week?
Oh, I thought we're going to get around to starting the show, are we? Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who might it be?
Yeah, well, I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks that We Do Social Media. And they do the social media gym and the social media workouts. And you can find them on wedosocialmedia.co.uk. So a huge thank you to Linda, Elle and the team at We Do Social Media.
Linda and Elle have been into the studio and they're great fun and they're lovely. And I love the fact that Elle went and worked away and then came back.
Yeah.
I think that's lovely.
Yeah,
and in the studio flanking us, we've got an interview from Loch Associates.
That's coming up in the first half of the show, and then we've got two lovely, gorgeous, wonderful studio guests that we're going to hear from in the second half.
We have Gabriella Burgess and Amy Nicholas.
Yeah,
just the one, Amy.
The one.
Yes, and they are great food. number2u.co.uk. Give them a look while you're listening to the show.
Thank you for that.
Told you I was perky.
You were punky.
It's my homeopathy.
Is it?
I feel like I'm getting my mojo back after 7 months.
She's got these little plastic bags full of white stuff, and I'm saying no more. Yeah. I'm just saying no more about it. But it certainly perked her up, that's for sure.
I'm drinking a lot of, because I'm trying to cut down.
You're drinking
down
a lot. You don't need to say any more, Jules.
I'm drinking dandelion and burdock and ginger drinks. Instead of wine.
Where's the alcohol in that?
I'm cutting down at the moment.
Oh, my God. If you've got shares in Diageo or anybody that makes alcohol, sell now because the price is going to plummet. Jules is giving up alcohol.
However,
as
you know, on Wednesday, me and the new husband are going out in the wagon to Rutland for camping.
Yeah.
I tell you, listener, I'm not a camping girl, really, but what choice has one got?
Jules announced it last week that they were going to Rutland, which is the smallest place in the UK. UK. I mean, it's tiny.
I mean, our wagon will fit the whole of Rutland.
Yeah, but while we were on air, somebody from Rutland with a Greek restaurant went, well, come and visit us then.
Yeah, and I love Greek food.
Yeah, well, so you're going to the Taverna in Rutland High Street.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture. And I'm a blood group O, Amy and Gabriella. So, you know.
You needed to know that.
A little cleftico is perfect for me.
We'll be asking questions later. We'll go, and what blood group is Jules? Yeah.
Well, meat is perfect for me, so a little cleftico I should be having. So we're going to Rutland. So I have said to my new husband, we just put a fridge in, because 20-year-old camper that my new husband
inherited. You put a fridge in the camper?
We've put a big new fridge in, and I said, okay, so the organic Prosecco, how many bottles can we fit in
this? Yeah, I was going to say, all this, I'm cutting down on the alcohol, but we have put a fridge in, and I'm going, I wonder what's in the fridge.
Well, the essential for a holiday, I mean, you don't go away and not have your organic wine, do you? So Rutland, here I come.
Right. Shall we start the show then?
Yeah.
Shall we read some of the tweets or emails? I'll tell you what, you can do whatever. You can read a tweet or an email. Gosh, you surprise me.
You've never said that before. Mm. My timeline, I have to have a look because I've got my ad blew up, but I will read you about the King's Summit, Business Bunker listener. So 2021, it's going ahead.
Yeah.
It's less than 8 weeks away. It's on the 14th of October at the Kent Event Centre at Detling. You're invited. And in the past years, business owners seeking wisdom and fresh insights to grow their business have found this to be one of the most valuable days in the business calendar. For the first time in nearly 2 years, like-minded, ambitious business owners like you, Business Bunker listener.
Me.
Yeah, and you, Paul Andrews, will be able to meet together face to face. Do you remember doing that?
Sorry?
Do you remember doing that?
Face-to-face.
Meeting together face-to-face.
Oh, I thought you weren't going to mention that.
And discuss the challenges and opportunities for the future of your business. This year will be unique, they say, as every business will be able to promote their products and services to the room on the promotions wall. There'll be a fascinating insight into surviving and thriving through the uncertain days ahead and plenty of time for networking. We'll also be encompassing the government's latest initiative to develop peer networks, and you'll be able to practically build your own peer group at the King's Summit. Don't go it alone in these very challenging times. Peer groups area proven way to build a sustainable business, because you're able to draw on the experiences and expertise of fellow entrepreneurs who help you navigate the choppy waters ahead. So go to www.thekingssummit.com to find out more about it. And as I said, it's on the 14th of October. And where did summer go? I mean, October's round the corner, isn't it?
I know. Nights are drawing in.
I've only just got my summer clothes out, my sarong and things.
Yeah.
And then I wash them and now I've got to put them away again.
Yeah. I'm going to the King's Summit. I'm chairing the question and answer section.
Are you? There's no mention of the food there, but I'm sure there'll be a nice sort of...
It starts early with a bacon roll.
Oh, well, I'd go just for that.
That's what I said. I said that's the only reason I'm coming, with bacon rolls, tell anyone.
You can have my bun and I'll just have your bacon.
If Amanda's listening, I'm not really having a bacon roll, honest.
You can. Well, bacon's fine. Just don't eat the roll.
Don't roll, Right. Climeworks will be hosting the Direct Air Capture Summit this week, today the 14th and tomorrow the 15th of September. The summit brings all the key direct air capture companies and experts together on one platform, making this a unique opportunity to hear from everyone in one place. This is a hybrid event with opportunities to attend remotely and in person in Zurich. The summit starts at 5 p.m. this evening. That's 7:30 Central European Time, 14th of September, with a remote event, and then restarts again tomorrow, the 15th of September, from 1:30 p.m., which is 6 p.m. Central European Time, with a hybrid event that can be accessed either remotely as well as by in-person in Zurich. So do check that out if you're interested in direct air capture. Jules.
When Tess Carslake lost her job at a clothes shop, she spent months applying for other positions and she got endless rejections. So eventually she took the plunge and she put a third of her redundancy money into her own business selling T-shirts at a stall at Chatham's Dockside Outlet Centre. And the 57-year-old said, the gist of it was, I think people thought I was too old. Gosh, I thought they were too old. There's no hope for us. 57.
She's a child.
She's hardly out the cradle.
She's a child. Yeah.
Exactly. The gist of it, I think people thought I was too old, she said. I've always been in retail, so I thought, why not go for it alone? She got a £3,000 redundancy. She put £2,000 on paying bills and a new TV.
I thought you were going to say she put £2,000 on a horse at Chepstow.
And the rest, I don't know why she bought a new TV, what that's got to do with it. I have to ring her and ask.
Yeah.
And the rest into the stall. So she started off with a dozen lines of clothing and she has now built it up to 40 different lines and has loyal customers. So well done, Tess Carslake.
Fantastic.
You'll find her at the Chatham Stockside Outlet Centre. Now, is that all the time on her stall? Is that daily?
Yeah.
Okay. If anybody's listening and knows about the Afghani refugees, I've got some clothes and some toiletries, if anybody's listening and knows where I could drop them.
Okay. I'm going to do some tweets now. Construction Expo have said, we'd like to say a big thank you to our headline sponsors, EY, that's Ernst & Young, Breakthrough Incentives. Their team work with small and medium-sized businesses that are innovating to claim back R&D tax relief. So a big thank you to them and to the folks at Construction Expo. Chips and Dinks say, there's another great lineup on the Business Bunker show today. Have a great show, everyone, and we'll be listening in. That's the lovely folks at Chips and Dinks, Bev and Tony, who repair anything that you damage, basically.
They've got to come round and look at my stone bath. I keep meaning to ask them. I've got a couple of Chips and Dinks in that.
Yeah.
Paragon Drones, hello to you guys. They're propelling drone services to higher levels through excellence.
See what they did there?
What?
Drone services to higher levels. I like it. I like it. See what I did there?
They're harmonising drones and business by creating value and exceeding expectation. You can find them on paragondrones.co.uk. But I would like to ask them, please, not to drone over my garden.
When you're naked sunbathing.
You never know, do you? What you'd be up to. Not just sunbathing either, you know.
Yeah, you could end up in a Sunday sport like that, couldn't you?
You could be doing anything.
Naked woman spotted on the moon.
Yeah, and I saw, you read out the women in construction, didn't you? Have you just done that?
No, I did the Construction Expo.
Okay, so the women in construction have a networking lunch at the Construction Expo. Mm. Cheryl Causbrook in conversation with Amy Goff and Sue Nelson. And you can hear their successful stories, and that's on October the 21st. Guess where I'll be on October the 21st?
Rutland?
No, I'll be back from there. Now I'm going to Reeds. My mum will be 91.
Oh.
Last year it was her 90th.
Ah. Well, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So 90 last year and she's 91 this year.
Yeah, she's not going backwards.
Jesus, I wonder what age she'll be next year.
I know.
I can't wait. I can't wait for 2022 to find out how old she'll be next year.
I told you I had dyspraxia. Or whatever.
Yeah, I do.
Dyspraxia. No, you told me I had dyspraxia.
Is that a Greek restaurant in Rutland? Dyspraxias.
I've been calling White Rabbit like mad to do her cake again because last year's cake was just so amazing with a big stiletto on the front and a glass of champagne and everything, proper glass, vintage. And they're not answering. I've called them on Facebook. I've called them on Twitter. They might be
down a rabbit hole.
Could be.
Athelbray have tweeted, Business Bunker, sadly, we're not able to listen live today as we're enjoying a little break in Lyme Regis for the week.
Not Rutland.
And they're saying, no, the hospitality here is rammed, which is great to see. But anyone needing training or coaching, our new director, Fran, is happy to help. And you can email fran@athelbray.co.uk or you could give her a call on 01892. 832059. That's Paddock Wood, 01892 832059.
And they've put a lovely photo, haven't they? I mean, that looks like the Riviera, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
That's Lyme Regis. Now, where's that? Well, is that West Country?
Yeah.
Whereabouts is it? What's it close to?
Lyme Regis.
Taunton?
No, it's not that far. No, Lyme Regis, I think, is Dorset-Devon border.
Dorset. Because I had a lovely time in Dorset.
I know you did, my little dearie.
I had cider. Dorset cider.
Did you have a cream tea?
I did, and I had the jam first and the cream on top.
Yeah.
It was lovely. And lovely beaches, and the water was clean. Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to bark at you about.
What?
Did you see that because of a shortage of lorry drivers, the government, in their wisdom, have given the water companies permission
to dump sewage
into the rivers?
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't read this, it was like on page 5 of my mum's Daily Mail. It should be front page, shouldn't it? And also our drinking water, they're able to reduce the amount of chemical in our drinking water. So if you start getting tummy bugs,
you know why.
Yeah. So can you all make a fuss about that? Because it's not being widely posted.
This is another campaign brought to you by Jill Serkin.
Yeah.
I want to read this as well, talking about Athelbrae. Athelbrae did a survey the other day, and I thought it was interesting, and they've now sent me the results of the survey.
Okay, what was the survey?
It's the results of the poll on student assessment. And what they did is they asked businesses what they thought about GCSEs and things like that. So let me read it. So thanks to everyone who took part in our Twitter and LinkedIn polls following this year's A-level and GCSE results. There was much debate at the time about whether teacher assessments were the way forward and whether the education system for measuring student success was outdated now, particularly as academic success does not necessarily translate into the qualities employers are looking for in the 21st century. 11% of respondents felt that teacher assessment was the way forward, though some felt it should be a combination of teacher assessment, exams and other unspecified measures. Bribery would work for me. It's worth noting, of course, that teacher assessments replicate much of how we benchmark and measure targets set in the workplace, with managers using similar formats for performance management. Does this mean that we should review the appraisal performance management criteria in our businesses, seeing as only 11% of them like it? Yeah. The overwhelming majority, 65%, felt that a different way should be used to assess skills and achievements. And everyone in the studio is nodding along to that as well. Exam-style assessment certainly has a place in the measuring of learning, but for those who can learn by rote and regurgitate information, the exam system plays to their strengths. Those who are by nature more disposed to practical work and application can be disadvantaged. So perhaps employers who curtail their hiring recruitment criteria by using 5 GCSEs or A-levels limit their ability to have multi-skilled workforce that are flexible, adaptable, practical, skilled and resilient to the demands of the role advertised. And that's consistent with most of the findings that most of the business support organisations find these days. Most businesses are no longer really that interested in GCSEs and A-levels. They're just really not. It's about attitude and about willingness to learn at work. And
being personable, having being able to answer the phone
communication
properly.
Skills,
I had to phone a hospital because the A&E
don't even get me started on non-communications in
hospitals.
You
know, I was sent to A&E again because of my AstraZeneca the other week and Ashford, they said they'd phone me and they never did. So after a week I phoned them, and I'm not joking, the operator that I spoke to, she said, "What's your name?" Now I'm quite known for my diction, right?
Yeah.
So I said, it's J-U-L-E-S for sugar, S for sugar, E-R-K-I-N, just like that. And she said, is that your first name or your family name? I said, Jules is my first name, Serkin is my... And I spelt it out again and again and again. And she did not... She was incapable of writing it down. And then she read it back to me. I said, read it back to me. And it was completely wrong. I mean, and that's the operator. So, anyway, I gave up, really.
We're running out of time.
I lay in the dog's basket.
We nearly finished the show. And I've got some cheesy tunage to play.
Okay.
Now, you'll never get this.
Oh.
Well, you might.
Oh, that sounds like somebody that plays the violin. It's a jiggy sort of Irish song.
Well, it's the Oyster Band.
Oh, right, told
version.
You.
Yeah.
Folk. Is it about food?
No, it's about the law.
Oh, yeah, I wrote the law the law won.
I fought the law. Yeah. I picked the Oyster Band to play this because the other one I had was The Clash, and that was a bit raucous for a Tuesday afternoon.
And this isn't raucous?
I'll tell you what, try the Clash version. Should we have a listen?
Yeah.
I needed money because I had none. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won. If my baby had it falsified, yes, my race is a run, 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 run. She was the best thing I ever had. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law.
Welcome back. That was I Fought the Law and the Law One by the Oyster Band. In recognition of our next guest, and I'm sure she'll hate the song that I chose, but that's the whole point of it.
Tracy Ferguson has just piped up Too Raucous, The Clash.
Yeah, it was, yeah, I did think about it, and I preview played it earlier, and I thought, no, that's going to blow everybody's head away. Anyway, we caught up with the lovely Sally Beddoe from Locke Associates, the HR and wellbeing law firm based in Tunbridge Wells. And I'll tell you what, let's hear what Sally had to say.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker show, Sally Beddoe. Sally is from Locke Associates Group, the HR and wellbeing law firm. Sally, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show.
Hi, Paul. Thank you.
It's great to see you again, and thanks for joining us. And we always find lots of value and interest in the things that you tell us about. What I'd like to concentrate on today, if I may, is the kind of things that are affecting businesses and employees as we start to return to work, or not, as the case may be. So, are there any thoughts and feelings you have on some of the issues that we may be facing as this kind of thing unfolds?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of debate about how people are going to conduct themselves back in the office and what measures to maintain a COVID-safe environment the organisations are putting in place, how that impacts on individuals. And obviously, since the government have changed their policy around any legislation around things like face masks, how that will affect people in the workplace relying on individuals to make those decisions for themselves. A question that our clients are asking us at the moment is, you know, can you be forced to wear a face mask at work, and what problems that brings up for the people who don't want to.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, isn't it? Just as an observation, and it is only an observation, but I've noticed over the last couple of weeks when I go shopping to vary, not just one particular institution, but a number of supermarkets, they have big signs up that says wear a mask. But half the staff aren't wearing masks, and I would say a good 80% of the shoppers aren't wearing masks. So they're not really trying to enforce it any longer.
I think it's really difficult, isn't it, to put that responsibility on one individual to enforce it.
Yeah.
The government have said it's the responsibility of individuals to make the choice for themselves.
Yeah.
And therefore, I would be very intimidated asking a shopper coming into a shop, oh, can you put your face mask on, please? Because if they refuse, where do you stand? What do you do?
Yeah.
And it's much the same for employers. There are some environments where a face mask is deemed necessary and that you would need to wear one. If it's a care environment, for example, the hospital. Yeah. Obviously, we'd expect to see that, well, wouldn't we?
But yeah, funnily enough, I've got experience of that because I have a relative in hospital at the moment, and I went to visit the other day, and not only did they make me wear a face mask, they made me wear what I can only say is a hazmat suit.
Wow.
I had to wear gloves, I had to wear these plastic aprons and a hood and all kinds of stuff. They were really well over the top with that. It was like something from a science fiction film. But as you say, you know, those kind of environments are critical for keeping that infection.
Yeah. And I think that your normal in the office employer would need to do a risk assessment about what they thought would be necessary to keep their employees safe at work. Yeah. And to stop the spread. There has been one tribunal case on it, actually, that's already gone through about whether somebody was fairly dismissed or not for not wearing a face mask. And what it was a Tate & Lyle driver, a third-party driver, it's not employed by Tate & Lyle, refused to allow a driver on site that wasn't wearing a mask.
Right.
Because it was part of their on-site requirements. And the courts did find that that was a reasonable dismissal okay. because he knew, he was aware, it was part of the rules. He was asked, he refused.
Yeah.
So they did dismiss him for it. Right. But it is the only tested case on it at the moment, so I'm sure there'll be more to come.
Yeah.
But, you know, you need to understand why people don't want to wear one. Some yeah. people have always been exempt and not worn one, and
no.
and you need to take that into consideration.
And a lot of people think they don't work. Even the manufacturers put it on the box that they don't work. So you know the paper ones I'm talking about that so many people use. So you're right. There's a whole heap of different reasons that people. Some are just making a political point. Some have genuine reasons for not wanting to wear one.
Yeah.
And some just think it's a complete waste of time. What bothers me as an employer is the government seem to be heaping all of the liability on us as employers.
Indeed.
To manage all of this. You know, the next thing we're going to have to do is manage COVID passports, vax passports. You know, I mean, if you run a nightclub or a big venue, how on earth are you going to check everybody through, you know?
And how are you going to know it's yours? You know, yeah, my mum and dad got Centivax passport in the post, and I could take that and say it was me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and if you're walking through in a queue, even on a phone, I could give my phone to someone else and they can walk through with my phone and hand it back to me, and I'll go in and get, you know, that, as an employer, I'm very, very nervous about why I'm supposed to implement all of this.
I think the key is, as an employer, is that you've done a risk assessment. So we've always been used to risk assessments. It's something that's happened in a work environment for many, many years.
Yeah.
What we're assessing now is a new risk.
Yeah.
So that risk assessment now needs to include the assessment of spread of disease, particularly related to COVID.
Yeah.
And that you take reasonable steps to keep to that risk assessment. That's all you can do, really, is take a reasonable step.
Yeah. Of course, there's a number of other issues that are being thrown up here in all of this, and they are all effectively COVID lockdown, work at home related. The government have started to lift the mandate to tell people to work at home.
Yeah.
We're now faced with the fact, and I've confronted this myself in my own business, with people that were working in the office before the pandemic that are now insisting on staying at home. Have you got any views on that?
I think it's an interesting time for companies to make a decision around what they want the future of their business and their organisation to look like. Mm. So I think financially, for some businesses, it makes sense to get rid of the office because they don't have to pay that overhead.
Yeah.
It's worked effectively for people to work at home. In other cases, they really need people to come back to work, whether...
Yeah.
You know, they need it for training purposes. They need the contact. They need a presence in the office. I'm back at work. I'm back in the office now. And actually, I've really enjoyed coming back to the office.
Yeah.
The fact remains that some employees are still refusing to come back. Mm. There's many, many different reasons for that. So there's a lot of anxiety amongst people. People have become a lot more cautious. They don't want to go out. And it's all about really making sure that you listen to employees' reasons.
Mm.
So they do have a right to put in a flexible working request to work from home. Doesn't mean that you have to accept it. There are reasons in law that you can deny the to work from home.
Yeah.
I think you need to think about, are those people working from home doing their whole and effective job for you?
Yeah.
Over the last 18 months, we've probably not done our whole job, because part of our job is to be in a team, to interact, to share our culture, to share our values. Very difficult to do remotely.
Yeah.
So if somebody continues to resist to come back, you need to just liaise with them, continue to talk to them, understand their reasons, if they've got anything that covers them under the Disability Act that you'd need to make some adjustments for. Maybe they've got long COVID and some symptoms from that that's affecting their return, or they're concerned about their family. Ultimately, you can force a return to the office, because that is what's in your contract, or potentially what's in your contract. So ultimately, you can go down that road. But to get there, I think, is a long process of consultation and communication.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Funny enough, with my company, we had home workers long before this. And we've always had flexible working. One particular individual that wasn't doing that because their job wasn't good enough, you know, wasn't right for that. But we've had an issue that came up, which really did cause us a huge amount of grief, despite the fact that we provide equipment for people to use at home. Somebody decided to use their own home laptop and infected our entire network with a ransomware attack.
Wow.
We lost two servers and I think eight PCs got trashed because that person chose to do it, you know, and there was nothing we could do to stop that. They had a work machine that was fully protected, but chose not to use it and used their own laptop. And, you know, we couldn't manage that. So you get these kind of problems that throw themselves up, that kind of throw a spanner in the works as well.
But definitely.
Yeah.
I think there's the other side of it as well, where people who are at home start to use their work computers as if they were their personal computers, which also, you know, about downloading data onto them or, you know, looking at things perhaps they shouldn't be looking at. Yeah. And it's really important that there's some clarity and some policies around what equipment have you got, what's it used for. Think about the GDPR training that you might need to give people. You know, I have paper everywhere. You can't leave that around when people are coming around your house.
Yeah.
So it is a different bit of training that needs to happen with people when they are working from home.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And of course, all of this is an overhead on businesses that may be struggling anyway because of, you know, the thing we've just gone through. And especially for very small businesses, you know, it becomes a, you know, I've got to stop all the work I'm doing and manage all of this, you know. And for a lot of people, trying to manage that themselves is well outside their own comfort zone. You know, I'm thinking of, you know, a small owner manager of a small business with two or three employees. You know, if people are demanding things like not to come back to work or to, you know, all these GDPR issues and security issues to face, and then they've got to manage, you know, social distancing when people are at work and signage and all kind and risk assessments. They've got to do all of this. And I can imagine people sitting there going, why am I even bothering to be in business with all of this?
The balance of, let's call it the balance of power, is almost switched because people are in their own homes. They feel important. They're comfortable. And employees do feel like they've got a lot of sway at the moment around following rules, policies and procedures.
Yeah.
And it is about taking a step back, thinking, what do I want my business to look like, and gaining some control over that, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I said to you earlier, for me personally, I've always had remote workers anyway, and I believe firmly in flexible work. I think it's a good thing. And right now, I wish I could bin my office altogether because I'm paying for a massive office that's empty. But you know, we, as you say, we have to try and manage our way through all of this whilst also looking after ourselves, of course. So there's a lot happening. I want to move on to thinking about those people that have returned to work.
Yeah.
And we've established a mask policy that people are reasonably happy with in some respect or another. What are some of the other issues that we're now facing when people are coming back into the workplace?
So we'd moved to a trend, hadn't we, one of them, of hot deskings, knowing that people were flexible working, they wouldn't necessarily all be in the office at the same time. And there's some questions that we've had from clients around, can they still use a hot desk policy, so share workspaces? Yeah. And it's about thinking about how, if that's the case, do you reduce contact between people? Can you reduce the spread of disease through putting measures in place such as barriers, ventilation, extra cleaning? We've got all wipes on our desk at work. And even though we don't hot desk, you know, we're expected to wipe them down at the end of the day, which we'd never have done before. I mean, if you dropped your coffee, you might. But it comes under the Health and Safety Act, really, that requires employers to carry out the risk assessment, like we've said, review the risk assessment and disclose to staff and update it on the website if necessary. So if you've got more than 50 employees, you would be expected to have your risk assessment on your website, which is an interesting change that's happened. And if you work with, you know, trade unions, consult those or just consult your staff team and talk to them about how they're feeling. But it's about making sure those things are in place. So you can't expect someone to wipe their desk down if you don't provide them with wipes. So do the risk assessment and then follow it through.
It's interesting. It's interesting because I also own a hot desking space. So we face this in spades because it's what we do for a business.
Yeah.
What we've had to do is we've halved the number of people which means that currently the business isn't viable, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. And what we've done is we've put screening between each desk, and we've said to the people that did want to come back, and we've said it's your choice. You know, we're not going to charge you if you don't come back. Yeah. There's no contracts or anything, so you can choose not to come back. But those that wanted to come back, what we've tried to do is allocate them a fixed desk, so that, you know, there's not a lot of swapping around. And like you said, we put out cleaning material, but we also have the place completely disinfected by a professional cleaning company every week. And we've got one-way systems for walking through kitchens. Yeah. And
it's definitely had an impact on finances, hasn't it? Having to make all that investment.
Well, not only have we had to invest in all that, we've got no income because the business is not viable. So we can't, it's a matter of how long this goes on before we just go, do you know what, we're closing. And that will keep you safe. You can't work anywhere, which is a shame. But that's where we are with us at the moment. But, we are getting, and this is an interesting thing, we are getting lots and lots of people wanting to come to work, to the point where we've got a huge waiting list of people waiting to become members. But because we've got a reduced amount of space, we can't allow them to come back. And, so it's interesting that so many people do want to come back.
I do think there's a definite appetite now for people to go back to the office.
Yeah.
Just from my own personal circumstance, I was working at home in the living room. My husband was working at home and still is in the office. Mm. And actually, it's nice to get out and away from him.
Yeah.
As much as I enjoy his company, it was getting a little bit much.
Yeah.
But also you've got, younger people in the workplace who some have joined new jobs and never met anyone. And they're working off a bed. They want to get back in the workplace to just have a good, comfortable working environment to be in. Yeah. And we forget about those people, I think the people who talk about it all the time are the ones with, maybe a 5-bedroom house and a lovely garden that they enjoy spending time in. But actually, if you're in a rented accommodation in a shared house with shared social spaces, it isn't great.
Yeah. Well, funny enough, one of the things about Fruitworks, my community space, back in the day, even before all of this started, a lot of our members, a lot of our hot desking members are actually home workers who basically don't want to commute, but don't want to work at home either. So they would take desks in Fruitworks just to have human contact, to have a good quality internet connection, to have space to do anything, because they're crammed in at home. So I think you're absolutely right. Working at home is great if you've got a home office in your garden or a spare room that you can dedicate to it, and you've got space and all of. And I mean, I live in a rural area, and my broadband, for instance, is atrocious. So even though I work at home, it's actually not very easy because the infrastructure is not that good.
Yeah.
So there's all those kind of issues to face as well for home workers, and I think. I saw something the other day that the government were contemplating pushing on further with homework, as they saw it as a benefit to achieving their zero carbon targets.
I think they're looking at making it an automatic right to request flexible working, and one of those requests would be to work from home. And I think they're fighting amongst themselves, aren't they? Really, because Richie Sunak wants people back to drive the economy in the cities, so people go out and buy their lunch, and pay their fares to get into work and pop into the shop at lunchtime to buy some new shoes. That's just me, but. But then the other side of it, you're right, there's a massive environmental impact of all that activity. And, sadly, we've seen devastated effects of that lately, haven't we, with the floods in New York and everything. And it's balancing all those things out.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, without being too political about it, I don't, there are some things you can do from home. But what we've got to remember, there's a lot of industries that can't possibly work from home.
Exactly
manufacturing and all that kind of stuff. And we mustn't leave them aside, and we mustn't push people away from those kind of industries just for a political point. Manufacturing is really important to us as a country. So we need to ensure that people feel good about going to work in a manufacturing environment. But for those of us that work in the service industries that can work from home, if the government are going to push us that way, then I think they need to invest a huge amount more in the infrastructure to support it.
Definitely, yeah.
Maybe not do HS2, but do broadband.
Just a suggestion. Well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. That was just a Labour government policy, wasn't it? Proposed policy, free broadband for all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm all right. I live in a big city, so my broadband's very quick. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I might come around your place then, Sally, because mine's awful.
I can offer the sofa. No other working space available.
Cool. So there's lots of things for employers to think about in terms of getting their risk assessment right.
Yeah.
For those just starting out in business or just starting to grow, I'm not sure if there are many of those at the moment. Well, there are a lot starting out in business, that's for sure. Yeah. I read there's 150,000 new business startups.
A lot of new startups. Yeah. Definitely.
But of course, most of those won't have employees just yet. Mm-hmm. But they might do soon. And for those that are on the journey and are just starting to think about employment, can you give us some pointers about how to go about forming a risk assessment? For those people who have never done one and go, well, I don't even know what it is. It sounds really... give us some pointers on what that would involve, what the kind of things are that we'd have to do.
So, I mean, there is loads of advice out there, firstly. So the government website has loads of advice on health and safety. They have some mock-up risk assessments on there if people wanted to look at them. Professionals like ourselves, we've done template risk assessments, for example, an office environment that could help you. But it's about thinking about all the contact points, assessing a risk that you see and how you overcome it. So I'll give you a perfect example, the fridge at work.
Right.
So if you're going to have a fridge where people put their packed lunches, actually that's a contact point that everybody would probably touch every day.
Right.
So how many times are you going to clean that? Who's going to clean it? What are you going to clean it with? You just address each of those factors and you'd write it down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And you communicate that to your employees. Like I say, more than 50, we're not talking about that. It'd go on your website and people would sign off on it so that they've understood it.
Yeah.
Because we're now assessing the new risk of COVID and how that could get into your office environment, you might want to include on there things like, how do people get to work? So are they coming on public transport where the risk is higher? Are you asking them to sanitize their hands before they come into the office? Maybe in some environments, if you're in a big factory or a hospital, you know, would you get them to change their clothes? Mm. So it's thinking about every little thing that would happen. If you compare it to a risk assessment pre-COVID, it's exactly the same. You know, I've put a wire on the floor. What am I going to do to stop people tripping on the wire? I'm going to move the wire or I'm going to tape it down. So it's just looking at all those little risks, writing it down in a structured way on a piece of paper and communicating it to your employees.
Yeah. And like you say, I mean, it's a requirement for 50 or more employees to have it on your website, but why not have it on your website anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you've got a website or, you know, some kind of interface that you use, whether it's a Facebook page or LinkedIn or whatever, why not put it there? If you've got it, put it there, flaunt it, as it were.
Yeah.
So that, you know, people know it's there.
And the key is, like I say, you know, the government website actually does have a lot of resources around it that are useful for small businesses starting out, to just visit those. They're also got some industry specific advice, which is useful.
Yeah.
So it might be a bit on retail or a bit about cafes, nightclubs that we spoke about. And that would be useful for people to go and look at.
Yeah. Sally, is there anything else that you think that we should really start to think about now that as employers or employees in terms of where we are in this whole pandemic thing and where we're heading?
I just think that the key is it's time for the employers to really think about, what do they want their business to look like in the future? Do they want to accept flexible working? If so, how are they going to implement that safely for employers and employees? Do they want people back in the office again? If so, how are they going to implement that? What safety measures do they need to put in place? But it's about them actually leading the decision making on it and not being led, because the employees will all want something different probably.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sally, that's fascinating and really useful and really insightful. Thank you so much for that. If people want to find out more about the work that Locke Associates Group do, and you do a lot of things, I know you're a law firm and you specialise in employment law, but you do a lot of stuff on wellbeing, mental health and all kinds of other issues. So how do people find out more about Locke Associates?
So if we go to our website, it's www.lockassociates.co.uk. And within that, we are launching some new services. So we've obviously got, as you mentioned, Lock Wellbeing. Yeah. We're also launching three new services, which are Lock Dispute Resolutions, Lock Business Solutions, which is great for a new startup, and also Lock Learning, which is around training and developing people in the workplace. So they're all our new products that we're launching at the moment, and if people want to know more, then we're more than happy to have a chat with anyone.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you for that. We'll put a link, well, there's a link already to Lock Associates Group on our website,
but
we will let people know about those new developments of the business as well, because they're all very useful and desirable things. Sally, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been a pleasure as always to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Lovely. Thanks, Paul. Bye.
Bye.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was Sally Beddoe from Lock Associates Group, the HR lawyers and wellbeing consulting company. Some really fantastic information and advice there about looking after your processes as people come back into work and we unlock and return to some kind of normality, hopefully, and all the rest of the things that are happening in the world of work and employment right now. We got two fantastic guests to talk to in the second half of the show. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom shortly, but we've got some catching up to do with tweets and emails. Creative Motion is a leading video production company based in Maidstone, Kent, and is at the forefront of video content production, drone filming, digital marketing, interactive design and live event filming, as well as audio visual equipment, hire and event services. Their drone filming services, they have experienced drone pilots and camera operators, are equipped with some of the most technologically advanced drone models and camera systems currently used in the industry today. There literally isn't any production we can't work with, from large drones capable of carrying up to 8K broadcast quality cameras like the Red Epic and Alexa Mini, to the smaller, more agile and lightweight models. If you want to find out more about their full range of services, it's www.creativemotion.co.uk.
And the Paragon drones have promised not to fly over my garden, just in case.
Oh, it's probably a benefit to them as much as you.
Now, Beyond Bamboo is launching its ethical rating system, which is developed in collaboration with Ethical Consumer Mag. The system will be used to rate all businesses selling on the Beyond Bamboo marketplace. Beyond Bamboo is a new online marketplace and community that offers sellers of ethical, sustainable, upcycled and refurbished products a platform to connect with the conscious consumer. So Chips and Dinks would like this, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And they set to launch in the UK this month, and they've already onboarded a wide range of ethical sellers, and is now they're looking for more companies to join the movement. All sellers with new products joining the marketplace will be assessed on the Beyond Bamboo ethical rating system across a range of criteria to ensure they are ethical and sustainable. The system has been devised in collaboration with Ethical Consumer Magazine, which has over over 30 years' experience vetting companies and products for sustainability. And the rating system also includes a working towards category, which allows companies that have started down the road to sustainability to be listed and showcase what they've achieved so far. So that's a great idea there. I like that, Beyond Bamboo.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet from Martin at Collectors Buddy. Follow him on the Twitter, buddy_museum. And he says, yeah, can I have a business shout out, please? I've been getting all excited.
I'm getting your teeth in a twist.
My teeth have all get all mixed up because I'm all excited. Could I have a Business Bunker shout out, please? I'm fundraising on eBay. And I'm listening to the Business Bunker show while I'm doing my lists. So give Martin a follow on the Twitter. His Twitter handle, again, is buddy_museum. And what Martin does is he finds collectibles that he then auctions on eBay and donates the money to charity.
It's a lovely idea. I love it.
What you got? Tracy Ferguson's listening live today.
I know. What she said, tell me.
She said, I'm listening live today.
Yeah, but she said something else.
Come on. But I haven't got to that yet. I'm just I'm just reading them as I go through them.
I've just got a picture of you and me coming up. So get going with your networking, the Second Marsh Network events that offer you the chance to grow your network and your business. The next Marsh Network online is about 10:30 a.m. next Wednesday. I don't know why I said about there. It is at
exactly
10:30.
On the button.
It's the 15th of September. So is that manana? I've lost. I don't even know what the date is. What's the date today?
14th.
So it's manana.
It's manana. It's tomorrow.
Where you'll meet businesses from across Kent, Sussex and beyond. A number of new attendees are already booked. So join them by booking at marshnetwork.co.uk and select Marsh Network Online. Choose the date and book. The speaker will be the ever smiling and supportive life coach, Jane Baldwin. First timers come free. To arrange a ticket, you can email, if you like, the Terry. That's terry@botfield.net. And again, as you can go to marshnetwork.co.uk.
Or follow them on Twitter at TDBotty.
You just like saying that.
I do,
B-O-T-T-Y.
Yeah. Paragon Drone said, great choice of today's cheesy tunage.
Yeah, it made me want to have an oyster, though. And because of the sewage in Whitstable, our oyster festival was good.
I think you read this, but this was the one you meant. Tracy Ferguson said, The Clash, too raucous, great track, interesting cover.
Yes. I've got a very long email. Do you want me to read it now, or
no,
do you want
you
me to wait?
No, haven't got time.
Okay, because the news is coming up, isn't it?
Yeah. Tracy has said about the Sally interview, really interesting discussion on changes in the way we work for both employers and employees. The cost to employers, too, to implement everything required must be prohibitive to some businesses. Absolutely. Especially if the expense has to ultimately be passed on to the customer in higher costs. You're absolutely right, Tracy, and that is a lot of the problem that our wonderful government is not recognising, and by increasing the cost of doing business at the same time as putting up taxes, they're not going to get much of a recovery, are they? What else you got? I'll tell you what I've got. I can't wait for you. Time moves on. Tempest, Fugit and all that.
Yeah. Oh, you're Latin as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Tenterden and District Chamber of Commerce have another networking event planned for this evening, Tuesday the 14th of September, 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Old Dairy Brewery, which is in the Tenterden Station Yard, Station Road, Tenterden. The benefits for attending the networking event is to gain fresh ideas, raise your profile, strengthen business connections, gain a different perspective and acquire some knowledge. All of the above set in a relaxed setting with light refreshments. We would love to see you there, so please get in touch via the email address I'm about to give you to reserve your place for tonight. It's info@tentertonchamber.org, and I will be there and I'll see you there.
Mm. Getting out and about now.
Absolutely.
Tunbridge Wells is a new eatery specialising in high-quality, locally grown foods. Macnade. Did you go to the opening? I was invited, but I didn't go.
I didn't go either.
It was a Monday night.
Sorry, Stefano. Yeah. I would have done. But
I did tell them why, and it was a Monday night.
Monday in Tunbridge Wells doesn't work.
I said, I'll go along in October if you'd like to join me. We could meet there and have a little snifter or something.
Yeah.
So I'll go in October with my roving mic. Macnaid is opening within the Hooper's department store in Mount Pleasant Road, and it replaces the previous Zest restaurant with a store which closed at the start of the COVID lockdown and never reopened. Macnaid will open all day, serving brunch, meals, salads, sandwiches and cakes.
It's right opposite the station, if you know Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm going to do one more thing. The ElectLink power cable connecting the national grid with RTE in France has carried out a successful test ahead of the 2020 launch. It's an ambitious series of cables linking France to the UK through the Channel Tunnel to provide each other with electricity. So interesting stuff there. Do you know what?
News.
I think we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom.
I haven't listened to the news today, so it's a good time to catch up.
It could be, yeah. So we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got two lovely people to talk to. We're going to talk to Gabby and Amy.
And it's about food.
And we're going to talk about food, which is always welcome around here. So we'll talk to them when we come back from the Channel Radio newsroom.
Let's find out what's happening.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.